Excellent, excellent. Well, good afternoon and welcome. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And as Dana said, we are walking into a brand new conversation that we're really excited about called Between Instagrams. We live in a culture that says to each and every one of us, and for most of us, we've heard this for most of our lives. We live in a culture that says you can be whatever you want to be. And if you work hard at it and you pursue it enough, you can be whatever you set out to be. How many of you have been told that at some point in your life? Like, you can be whatever you set out to be. Impossible is nothing. And so pursue it. Go for it. Go big. One of my favorite stories about that was actually a situation where a teacher was trying to inspire her class with this. And so she's talking to her class and she's saying to them, you can be whatever you want to be. I want for you to dream big. You can be whatever you set out to be. And there was this little girl in the class and she started to get really excited. She said, I don't think I can be whatever I want to be. And her teacher wanted to make sure that she got through to her. She's like, no, you can do it. I believe in you. I know you can. You can be whatever you want to be. And the little girl said, I don't know. Not me. And she said, no, you. What is it that you want to be? You can do it. And the little girl looked at her and she said, I want to be a unicorn. And all of a sudden the teacher paused and realized that maybe that's not actually true. But we live in a world where we say that to one another and we hear that over and over again. You can be whatever you want to be, and you can have whatever you set out to achieve. You can have, and we don't necessarily say it this way, but the reality is, if you look at the message, it's this: you can have it all. You can have it all. If you work for it, if you pursue it, you can have it all. And the interesting thing is that technology now has made it where I think for a lot of us, we think there are people who actually do have it all. And for many of us, we think that our friends have it all. It used to be that you had to keep up with the Joneses who lived next door to you. I don't know why it was always the Joneses. I don't know why they got a bad rap. But it used to be that you had to try to keep up with the Joneses and what you saw your neighbors have. But now you don't just have to keep up with the Joneses who live next door. You have to keep up with the Joneses of the entire world. And you're constantly being confronted with what they have and where they're going and their vacation. But the technology is such that it doesn't look like there's just a few people who have it all. It looks like your friend is always on vacation. And the reality is, it's probably only one friend a week for 52 weeks. But you think your friend is always on vacation, and man, I've got to be able to have what they have. And there's this. This communication that you can be whatever you want to be and you can have it all if you set out and you work hard enough for it. And I think for a lot of us, we've bought into that. We wouldn't say that, but we've bought into that, and we work for it and we're chasing it. We're running after it. And again, I don't think that we would say, no, I think I can have it all, or I don't think we would even say, like, I want to have it all. Most of us would humbly say, I don't want to have it all. I just want a little more than what I have. And we're bombarded by this message, and we see all of these Instagram moments and Instagram highlights, and I think for a lot of us, we've kind of bought into this idea of chasing those things, and I don't necessarily want to have it all, but I need to have a little bit more, and I want to be able to have, and I want to be able to do, and I want to be able to, and the world's kind of told us, like, you can have it, you just got to work for it, and you got to pursue it, and for some of you, you're actually extremely frustrated with your life because of the fact that you don't, and you feel like, because you've been told, well, if you just work hard enough at it, and you're like, but why, I'm working as hard as I can, and I still don't. because we've been told, like, you can be whatever you want to be. You can have it. Just set your sights and you work hard. As God steps into our lives, that's not what God says. As God steps into our lives, that's not at all what God says. As God steps into our lives, he doesn't say, you can be whatever you want to be. God steps into our lives and says, no, I created you to be something. We've been walking through that for the last several weeks, right? I've created you to be something. And before this whole thing started, I created you to be something specific. And joy isn't found when you can set out to be whatever it is that you want to be. Joy is actually found when you discover what you were created to be. And you see the uniqueness of how you're created and gifted to be able to step into that. And as God steps into our lives, he doesn't say, you can have it all, you just got to work hard. And no, as a matter of fact, what God says as he steps into our lives is you can't have it all. So be careful with what you pursue. Be careful with the choices that you make. Because your choices determine your direction. And certain directions aren't compatible with others. Certain highlights aren't compatible with others. Certain Instagram moments aren't compatible with others. So be very careful, because you can't have them both. And you've got to choose. And as you look through scriptures, throughout the entire biblical narrative, you see God trying to help us to understand this. And as our Father, he's trying to come alongside of us and take our hand and say, no, you got to understand something about life. You actually can't have it all. And so you have to be very careful about your choices and the direction in which they lead, because certain directions are not compatible with others. I want to take you to a story today that God shares with us to illustrate this, to help us to understand this, to help us to live this. It's a story that takes place in the life of an individual named David. Some of you may have heard of him. He's one of the most famous, most significant, he is the most significant king in the history of the nation of Israel. And in the Old Testament, or the Jewish scriptures, which are those are written before Jesus, we're given the story of David. And David, his story is amazing. The way that he experiences God in certain moments, and the way that he follows God, how God uses him to be able to establish the nation of Israel. He's a phenomenally successful king. As a matter of fact, when we pick up his story today, David has already arrived at that point. He is incredibly successful. His kingdom has grown to limits never seen before. And as he reaches this moment of success, David makes a decision that changes the rest of his life. I want to take you to that story. We find the story in the book of 2 Samuel, and it's written. We're not sure which prophet wrote it, Nathan or Gad, but the prophet is writing to us this story, and it's interesting, because as he starts the story, he doesn't start with the highlight of the story. He actually starts a little ways before the highlight, and he shares with us something that at first seems insignificant, but as we walk through it, I think you'll realize just how significant it is. Some of you may have even have read this story in the past and just read past the beginning of the story. But there's something in the beginning that's very, very important. Let me take you to it. It starts off and it says this. It says, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. Now, let me just fill you in here, a little bit of context. At this point, the culture is such that every year, kings would try to conquer other kings, and they're trying to conquer territory, and they're trying to raid. And so what he's saying here is that in the spring, kings typically would go out and make sure that they protected, make sure they would make sure that other countries aren't able to raid and conquer. And so he's saying normally at this time of the year, normally kings would go out with their armies to be able to protect their people. But rather than doing that, this time David decides to stay home. Rather than stepping into what God had called him to do and to be, David decides, wait. Why should I go sleep in a tent when I can sleep in my palace? I mean, I'm the king, and I've been pretty successful. I think I deserve a break. I mean, look at everything that I've accomplished. Look at everything that I've built. I feel like I should be able to be the king and enjoy it. And so rather than going out and doing what he's supposed to do, David decides, no, I'm going to stay and get a little R&R. I mean, let's be honest. I think I've earned it. And so he decides to stay home. In case you don't think that the prophet is trying to make a point here, listen to how he continues, because as he continues to share things that aren't necessarily super flattering to David. So as he continues, he says, late one afternoon, after his midday rest. I'm pretty sure that the prophet's painting a picture here. So he talks about, now typically kings would go out, but David decides to stay home. And then late one afternoon, after his midday rest, not only did he decide to stay home, but now he's napping. And it doesn't sound like a one-off. This sounds pretty consistent after his midday rest. This was a routine thing, okay? There's routine napping involved in this situation, which is never good. And he says, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of his palace. I'm going to stay home, get in some naps, walk on the palace, enjoy everything that I've done. Look at everything that I've done. It's such an Instagram situation. Look at me staying home. Oh, look at me. Oh, I'm about to take my nap. Right? Oh, look at me on my palace. Look, let's get as much of the kingdom behind me as possible. he's chasing it, man. He's chasing those highlights. Look at me. Look at what I've done. I deserve this. I've definitely earned a little R&R. As the story continues, he continues down that path. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, look what I have, look what I've done, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. So he's looking out over a city and he sees this woman taking a bath on her roof. Now, this is not an innocent moment or situation. This was not a mistake. I remember one of my professors was walking us through this passage, and he said, I used to teach this as an innocent moment. And then the women in my life pointed out that women don't take baths on the roof without knowing who can see the roof. They don't do that. This was not an innocent moment. And David looks out and he sees. He sees her, and then it continues. It says, he sent someone to find out who she was. And he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So he sees her, and then he's like, you know what? Let's just find out who she is. I mean, let's just find out who she is. What's the harm in that? What's the harm in that? Have you ever said those words? What's the harm in that? Whenever you say those words, you're in danger. I mean, it's not going to hurt to just find out who she is. It'd be good to know who she is. I'm the king. I should know who she is. Whenever you're in that situation, you say, what's the harm in that? What you're doing is this. You're stepping from a place of safety into a place of danger that's not necessarily destructive or wrong, but is phenomenally dangerous. We talk about it sometimes here at Hope and Grace as a guardrail, right? He stepped over the guardrail, and it's like, well, what's the harm in that? Okay, yeah, you're right. There's nothing wrong, but it's taking you down a path. And as the story continues, he continues down that path. Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she had came to the palace, he slept with her. And once again, I mean, I'm the king, right? Look at how I deserve, I should be able to have, and then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. I love the repetitiveness of this verse. Later, when Bathsheba discovered she was pregnant, she sent David a very clear message saying, I'm pregnant. And I'm pretty sure that was all there was to the message. I'm pregnant. I don't need to say anything more. I don't need to say anything less. I'm pregnant. And the story takes a turn, doesn't it? And it's at this moment, David awakens to the path that his choices have put him on. It's at this moment that David realizes, oh wait, my choices have determined my direction. And he finds himself on a path he had no intention of being on. And he finds himself somewhere he never thought that he would be. And he realizes at this moment, I don't want to be on this path. And he realizes in this moment, this is going to take me somewhere I don't want to go. And this isn't what I wanted for my family. And this isn't what I wanted for my kingdom. And this isn't where I wanted to be. And so David does something that a lot of us do when we find ourselves in that situation. He starts to fight to get back on another path. He tries to switch. He's like, no, I didn't want to be on this path. I want to be on that path. And so he tries to jump back to the other path. Listen to how he does it. He said, then David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite, her husband. So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along and how the war was progressing. Little small talk. Then he told Uriah, go on home and relax. How are things going? Good. Okay, great. How's the war? Great. Okay, excellent. How about you go home and relax? And David tries to convince Uriah to buy into what he's bought into. Oh, you deserve some R&R. How about you go home and relax? David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace, but Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night in the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, what's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away for so long? You've been sleeping in a tent, dude. You've been away for a long time. Why didn't you go home? Uriah replied, the ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab and my master's men, which by the way are David's men, are camping in open fields. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear I would never do such a thing. How do you think David felt when he heard those words? Well, stay here today, David told him, and tomorrow you may return to the army. David's realized, I don't want to be on this path. He's trying desperately to get back on another one. Well, stay here today, David told him, and tomorrow you may return to the army. So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next, and then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk, but even then he couldn't get Uriah to go home to his wife. You see what he's trying to do, hopefully. Hopefully you've caught on to what's happening here. Again, he slept at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. There's nothing worse when you're crumb- There's nothing worse when your character is crumbling than to encounter someone with excellent character. And in this moment, David's character couldn't be crumbling faster. And he's encountering someone who, rather than chasing the Instagram highlights of life, is being faithful to who God called him to be and to do. And as you read it, it's just embarrassing. David is desperately trying to get back to the other path. But Uriah will have none of it. So the next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver. The letter instructed Joab, "Station Uriah on the front lines where the battle is fiercest, then pull back so that he will be killed." You know what is mind-blowing about this moment? David is so confident in Uriah's character that he entrusts him with his own death sentence. And David's character has so deteriorated that he writes it. And as the story goes on, that's exactly what happens. And David takes Uriah's wife to be his wife. And God shares with us this story. And I'll be clear about something. God deals with David and what he's done here. Believe me, God addresses this with David. But God shares with us this story because he wants for us to recognize something. Because God is consistently stepping into our lives and saying, listen, you have to understand something. You can't have it all, so be very careful what you choose. Your choices are going to take you in a direction, and certain directions are not compatible with others. And David walked down a path that put him in a direction that changed his family forever. And this moment would come back to haunt David's family for the rest of David's life. Because that Instagram moment of David having that family that loves one another, that celebrates one another, that Instagram moment was eliminated the moment that David chose another one. And it's interesting because as the prophet writes the story, and he shares with us this moment where David, I have to think coming out of this, I have to think David sat there and sat with himself night after night coming out of this moment thinking, how in the world did I get here? How in the world did I get here? How in the world did this happen? I've become a murderer. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Almost every one of us have. If you haven't, you probably aren't being honest with yourself. And it's interesting because as you look at how the prophet shares the story with us, he wants for us to understand he didn't get there. How he got there, it didn't start with the moment that he chose to find out who she was. No, it actually started a long ways before that, when rather than stepping into who God had created him to be and what God had called him to do, he decided, no, I deserve more. I should be able to have it all. Because God's trying to make it very clear to us. And listen to me. This isn't because God wants to take something from you. It's because God doesn't want you to lose what's most important. He doesn't want you to wake up one day and realize you live for all the wrong Instagram moments. To realize that chasing those highlights led you in a direction you never wanted to be. He doesn't want you to wake up one day and realize, I can't get back to that other path. And make no mistake about it, there are certain directions that are not compatible with others. And sometimes it's big and serious like this, but there's other ones that we encounter every single day. I mean, the idea that if you're going to embrace the Instagram moment that you're always going to be the one who's best dressed, that is not often compatible with the Instagram moment of financial security. And some of you are chasing that, and you're going further and further in debt, and you're becoming a slave because of the fact that you're chasing this highlight, and you're going to find yourself down that path so far that you can't get back. Now, if you're going to chase that Instagram moment of your career and building that career, and I'm going to become all of this, and I'm going to accomplish all this, and I'm going to achieve all this, and I'm going to be the top of the top of the top, just understand something. That Instagram moment is not often compatible with a family that knows you and loves you. And if you're chasing that Instagram moment of sexual conquest, just understand that Instagram moment is not often compatible. It's not compatible with a marriage where you're going to experience security. And God says, come on, come here, listen. Pay attention to your choices and what it is that you're chasing. Because I have something far greater for you than just these highlights that so often can distract us from what He created us to be and what He created us to do. He's calling us to think about this in a different way and to engage this journey in a different way. And I'll be honest with you, when we began, because I talked to you about this series months and months ago, and as I began to work through this, I was at the beginning, I thought, the problem is that we chase Instagram moments, but as I spent more and more time with the stories that we're going to walk through over the next couple weeks, and some of those stories are going to be warnings like the one that we just walked through. Other of those stories are going to be incredible encouragements of people who really stepped into what God had called them to be and to do. And the highlights that those stories led to. And as I sat with those stories, I began to realize the problem isn't that we chase Instagram moments, it's that we chase the wrong ones. And so even as I was working through this week, I sat down and I said, what would it look like in my life to chase the Instagram moments that I believe God's calling me to and God's calling me toward, that God's called me into? And one of the things that I know is that God's called me to be a father, and one of the things that I know is that God's called me to be a husband. And I was thinking about the Instagram moment, that moment when hopefully in my future I'll have the opportunity to baptize my grandkids and to be able to celebrate that with my wife. Now that's an Instagram moment worth pursuing. Or the Instagram moment of my 50th wedding anniversary. Think about this a lot in ministry, in the Instagram moment of being able to step out of ministry, not because I've failed you, but because I've been faithful to the end. I want that Instagram moment. And I actually think that that's important for us to do in our lives, to be able to look at what is it that God's calling us to, not just for a second, but what is He calling us into and to embrace that and to be able to identify that so that when those other distractions come into place that we realize, no, that's nothing compared to what God's calling me into. And for David to be able to, in that moment, rather than being distracted by what was in front of him, to be able to realize, no, the greater Instagram moment is to be the king that God created me to be and to be that example to the nation that God's given me to lead. Every day we get to choose which moments we're going to chase. Don't be fooled. You can't have it all. You're going to have to choose. And what God is calling you into, I promise you, is better than what you're being distracted by. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this, I pray that we would be both challenged by this story, challenged to ask ourselves, like, what is it that I'm living for? What are the things that I'm chasing? But then also encouraged that you love us enough to bring us this story, that you love us enough to consistently step into our lives and say, no, it doesn't work like that. And to teach us to think beyond the moment, to think beyond the distraction, and to think through, okay, where is this choice going to take me? Is this taking me towards what God has planned for me, who God created me to be, or is this going to take me somewhere I never want to be? Thank you for how you love us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.